Grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text today on this second Sunday after the Epiphany speak about God being revealed through disciples and prophets. And sometimes that revelation, that uncovering, happens in unexpected ways. We began with our first reading today with the story of Samuel, who as a boy was left there at the temple under the care of the high priest Eli. And Eli and his family were responsible for helping people to know God. Well, Samuel, you know the story. I won't go through the whole thing. But Samuel, as a young boy, was lying one night there in the temple, and he heard a voice. And at first he thought that it must be his master, Eli. He heard a voice calling to him, "Samuel, Samuel." And so immediately he ran and he checked with Eli, who said, "Nope, wasn't me." It happened again, and then finally the last time you hear again, and Eli says, "Look, I think this might be God." So when again you hear this voice, answer. And so Samuel does. "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel replies, "Here I am, Lord, for you called me." Well, I think perhaps, as you know the end of the story, Eli may have lived to regret having Samuel listened to God. Because at the end of the story, at this part of the story, what happens, of course, is that God says to Samuel, "Look, the way that Eli and his family are revealing me to God's people is unfaithful. So I want you to give Eli a message. Tell him that both he and his family are no good at their jobs. They're going to have to go away, and no amount of sacrifice will make it any better." That was the news. And I love Eli's response. No, "Oh, it wasn't us, Lord, or God, it was so unfair." He just says, "Well, you're God." And then Samuel goes on to reveal God in a new way. It's a very powerful story about how God uses this young person to begin a new chapter in the faith life of God's people. Well, you know what happens to prophets. Prophets are usually not terribly popular, even if they are bringing a new revelation, a new revealing of God. We have a code among the clergy that we use a word when we are going to share with our congregations difficult words. Because, you know, it's the job of prophets to say things that people don't want to hear, even if it's for their own good. Well, among the clergy, we have this little code, and I'll let you in. You'll probably hear me say it someday, where we will say that we must speak with a prophetic voice. Right? I mean, we've all used that. What it means is, I'm about to tell you something unpleasant. No, don't do that! With a prophetic voice. But the real job of prophecy is to tell the truth in love and power. And often it isn't the truth that we want to hear. You see, Samuel had to go into the community and tell them the truth, that God still loved them, but God wasn't so sure that they loved God anymore. And in fact, Samuel would go on to tell them the truth, that their connection between their belief and their living had been disconnected. It was a hard and harsh truth. but God wished to be revealed through Samuel. In our gospel lesson, we hear the story of Jesus' call of the first disciples. Talk about an unlikely crew. In this particular gospel lesson, we hear how God calls Philip. And Philip goes to tell his friend Nathanael about this wonderful thing that he's discovered. That the Messiah is here, that God is revealing God's self through this new person. And he goes and he shares his story with his friend. Philip shares it with Nathanael. And I love Nathanael's response. Philip was from Bethsaida. He says, "We have found him about whom Moses and the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus, son of Joseph from Nazareth." And Nathanael says, he asks a great question. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? It's sort of like, so God sent a prophet from Detroit? Or even worse, Hollywood? And Philip says to him, "Come and see." And he does. And you see, Jesus then calls Nathanael as well. Nathanael sees in Jesus God revealed in a new way. He sees this incredible, wonderful thing. "Rabbi, you are surely the Son of God." And then Jesus asks him a good question. "Why do you believe?" Isn't that a great question? Has anybody ever asked you that question? Why do you believe? Any takers? Not one? I had one in the first service. Don't let them out, do you? Because of God's grace, okay? I believe because of God's grace. Why else do you believe? Bob, you're always good.
Oh, I am. Why else do I believe?
Why do you believe?
Because I believe in the hereafter, and I want to reach it. And I also want to be...
You're hedging your bets.
I want to be on this earth to contribute what I am.
Oh, you want to live out the life that God's called you to as well, in addition to the prize at the end?
Yes.
Fabulous. Hope. Why do you believe? Hope. Yeah. There's all kinds of reasons to believe, and Jesus won't settle for Nathanael believing because Jesus had seen him under the fig tree like a magic trick. What Jesus requires is that belief and life become one. And that in the end is what it means to be a disciple. To reveal God through word and living, that God's love is present and active and alive. It's not enough in our discipleship simply to claim God as our own, for God has already claimed you. God calls us to a life of discipleship beyond mere intellectual assent. He says to Philip, or to Nathanael, he says, "Do you believe because I saw you under the fig tree? I tell you, you ain't seen nothing yet. More is to come." Well, these prophets and disciples of old are all very good, but there are prophets and disciples in our own time as well. Tomorrow we will celebrate Martin Luther King Jr. Day. It is, again, every year one of my saddest moments when I ask my confirmands if they've heard of Martin Luther. And they always say, "Yeah, he was that black guy from the South." Well, I'm glad they know one of the two. But Martin Luther King Jr. lived out his discipleship, his belief, and his faith in his very life. And I think that's what makes him a modern-day prophet. Earlier this week, on an interview with the Today Show, is doing their 60th anniversary stuff. They've been around for 60 years. And they had each of the anchors over the 60 years who were there, and they were interviewing them. And they were asking, what's your most poignant, powerful moment? And one of the, I think it was Hugh Downs maybe, said, when I was interviewing Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., about halfway through the interview, I realized, oh dear, this man is not advocating for the black race. He's advocating for the human race. From his faith, he truly believed that race should not be what divides us or determines us. And then in the years to follow, that began to grow, and we began to understand that race and sexuality, class and social standing are all things that needed to be put aside if we were going to be authentically human. Well, you know what they did to that prophet. They began by, first of all, saying that he was just irrelevant. And he was simply wrong, and people even appealed to Scripture to prove why the races need to be kept apart and why people needed to be left in their little slots. And others of them, maybe in a well-meaning way, said, you know, in the end, the problem is that we're just too broken as human beings to possibly ever find harmony. War and racism are just a part of the human condition. This was from one of his speeches. It's one of my favorite Martin Luther King Jr. quotes. He says, I refuse to accept the view that mankind is so tragically bound to the starless midnight of racism and war that the bright daybreak of peace and brotherhood can never become a reality. I believe that unarmed truth and unconditional love will have the final word. And they killed him for it. These modern day prophets and disciples are among us today, living out the very depth and breadth of God's word in life itself. And you are among them. As we look for the names of our modern disciples, I count each of you with your names among those names we recognize so easily. Bartholomew, and Nathaniel, and Philip, and Mark, and Luke, and John, and even Peter. You are the new disciples whom God is calling. You are the ones who, lying asleep, hear the voice of God calling your name and reply, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Amen.